Hey, we are here at the Pointer Club Rooftop Talk. It's 9 o'clock. Hey, man. Woo! About that time, man. You already know, man. I had to come with another one, man. I can't stop. I won't stop. I'm like Biggie out here. I can't stop. I won't stop. I'm going to keep it coming. I'm going to keep coming with fire. Hey, I'm going to bring you up, brother. I'm going to bring you up. That link. Hey, you already know, so you already had it. What's up, Archie, man? What's going on, Archie? Hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hit, you can hear me? Okay. Yeah, you gotta hit that button up there. You gotta hit that mute button which says mic on and turn the mic off. Let's
can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you great. Let's go.
All right.
O'clock, right on the dot. We were just in time, man. Just on time. What a part. We do a little interview first, and then if you want to do a Q&A, you're going to do a Q&A. Hey, so you've been on Clubhouse, so you already know the vibe, man. Let's go.
Four in the club, we rise above.
Yeah.
Rooftop talk, real one, show love.
It's 9 o'clock, man. Here Monday, man. We in the building, brother.
Strong mind.
Let's go.
Build every week. We break it down. No surface talk. Critical thinking. When we walk from pain to purpose, yeah, we climb. Turn real life into a mastermind. No filters here, no highlight lies. Woo! We analyze what they disguise. From social fees to inner goals. We building kings, we molding souls.
Yo, hey, man, I appreciate you for coming out tonight, bro. I appreciate it. I've been watching your film. I've been watching your work, man. And I really appreciate you, man. Like, we got my boy Kevin Hicks today in the building.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Noise, man. Listen, so let's get into it, right? Okay, so good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the 400 Club Rooftop Talk tonight. We're going to dive into a conversation a lot of people feel but don't always say out loud. This relationship, you want to talk out loud, you get shunned for that, right? Are relationships, did they build on love or are they built on leverage? We are talking about influence of status, money, options, and what people all really bring it to the table versus what they expect back. I know what that means. And to break it down, we got a special guest. My boy, a special guest in the building, Kevin Hicks, known for keeping it real, challenging perspective, and not sugarcoating modern day relationship dynamics. So buckle up because this one might step on a few you toes tonight, man. Hey, Kev, man, you there, bro?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Can you hear me good?
Hey, you real good, man. Testing, 1, 2, 3. I can hear you really good, bro. You got it. Let's go. How are you feeling, first of all?
Man, I'm good, man. No complaints, bro. You know, I used to have a lot of those conversations. I haven't done the content in a while, but I'm still coaching. And that's the part of the job I love the most. So I'm still out here trying to have an impact. I just ain't on the internet as much.
Got 680 views up there. I mean, you know, 680 videos up there. I don't know how much you need to be up there.
Yeah, I feel like I said everything, you know? I said it already.
You said enough, brother. Trust and believe. So listen, I'm going to start with this question. What does love actually mean in today's market? Today's dating market. What is the love actually mean? What do you
mean? Man, I'm going to be honest, man. I think we when we say, like, what does it mean today or, like, modern, when we add those words, we give this opportunity for us to change what it always meant and what it always was supposed to mean. And that's kind of where we get the game fucked up, because I feel like love has always meant the same thing, right? Love gives grace, right? Love gives an opportunity. Love gives loyalty. Love gives friendship. If those aren't the things that we're striving for in our relationships, then whether it's modern or classic or prehistoric, it's not love. You know what I'm saying? Love requires those things. The same love you might give to a homeboy or a favorite cousin has to be present in your relationship as well, right? Like, love offers that much warmth and acceptance and, you know, like I said, grace. So I don't think love in a modern day sense is any different. I think that people who achieve love in the modern day sense are essentially going back to what love is actually at the core of its being always been. Does that make sense?
I feel it makes a lot of sense. You know, I feel like I just did. I think I just jumped the gun. I need you to tell people who you are, what you have going on, and then if not.
Okay.
Just your big ass 680 videos on it. You can just tell them the rest of who you are, where you came from.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we jump right in.
Right in. We're still in the vibe.
So I'm Kev Hick. That's short for Kevin Hickman, my name. So it's actually not an S in my name, but I don't know. Everybody puts one right there. I could change my name there and no one would even notice. But to that point, man, I was on YouTube for, man, it's been 9 years, almost 10 years. I was doing relationship content, dating content. That turned into coaching, which turned into life coaching, which turned into suicide prevention and marriage coaching. Because I've been married for 13 years. I'm coming up on my 14 year anniversary on my marriage. I've been with my wife for 18, almost 19 years. So, you know, I've achieved. Thank you, man. I've achieved the type of love that I'm hoping to usher in and allow other people to experience, you know, through maybe my guidance or, you know, maybe my perspective. Right. I'm not somebody just out here, you know, theorizing. I've been through some things. Right. You know, I've achieved some things in the way of love that I want to share that have brought value to my life. And so that's the main purpose of it all, man. But, you know, I started this just trying to essentially help the next young Black child coming up in a single parent household, you know, the way I started this whole thing, man, I see myself in other little kids. And, you know, I grew up in kind of the struggle, right? Like a lot of us, you know, my mom was an alcoholic. My father was not present at all. Right. We know who he is, but I've never stared this man in his eyes. Right. And I think that was a blessing. I can get into that a little later. But to the point, man, as my mom had destructive relationship after destructive relationship as a child, it bred in her a disability to effectively nurture her more positive relationships. And so as she started dating, as she was coming up from teenage years to her first couple of marriages, destructive relationship. You know, the whole single mom thing. We kick a lot of single moms in the ass, but we almost never say anything about that man that beat down a woman, abandoned his child, right? But to that point, those single mothers then have to raise young Black boys and girls who, while it might be popular to slam single women right now, those children still grow up to be humans and adults that ultimately add themselves to our ecosystem. Right? And my point of becoming a dating coach was to stop maybe the next young Black boy or girl from growing up in AA meetings in the basement of churches at 12 o'clock at night, drinking coffee, listening to how a crack addict ruined their lives and got it back together. Right. And then coming home to the type of drama that I would come home to, coming home to the type of environment that when you're 5 years old, you're making your own dinner. You're watching yourself at six. Like, you don't need a babysitter because you're that type of kid who doesn't need to be watched. Right. But that's a trauma response. Not having an adult to watch over you, not having that safety, needing to create the safety or provide the safety to an adult. We always talk about single mothers or you know, we don't talk enough about deadbeat dads, but we don't acknowledge what the child goes through and then who those adults become. So my initial point of, not to go along here, but my initial point of starting that was to, first of all, help women specifically learn to navigate relationships in a more positive way, to help young Black boys and Black girls who would ultimately be raised by those same women to avoid the traumas that perpetuate themselves generationally in our community. So, you know, why it might be, you know, motherfucker might call it simping, he might call it this or that. I don't give a fuck about
it. Call it simping, definitely, especially yeah, but, when you're on Clubhouse. Go
but,
ahead, brother.
But that's fine. That, but that's cool with me. Because like I said, simpleton is worse than simp. Okay? Yeah. And a lot of these niggas are simpletons. So we can start there. We can have that conversation. But I don't think they're ready for it. I don't think a lot of people are equipped for it. But
we probably sneak that in here, too. You know what I mean? So listen, so, yeah. So, and I look on YouTube, I see you have about 365,000 subscribers. I've seen that. And 680 videos up there. So you made an impact. Just put it like that.
I made a splash.
You made a good splash. A lot of people don't know about you, but I've been watching you. So look, we're going to go into segment one. I'm going to propose these three, then we're going to jump right to this question for you, right?
All
right. What does love actually mean in today's dating market? What is leverage in relationship? Looks, money, social proof, or access? Are people dating for connection or positioning? Kev, let's start here. Do you think most people even recognize when they are using leverage instead of love?
No, I think the social programming has put us in a place where we're constantly serving self, right? The relationship is like a chain on our neck. It's like some red bottoms on our feet. We wear our relationships for the observation of the public, and we wear our egos for the same reasons. But that's the reason why it's human nature. It's no different than how people are more concerned with how they're perceived and how they really live. Right? The optics matter more than the reality for a lot of people. And then if you take that and you give it a social media microphone, you give 3 million people a camera to record that perspective, right? From the place of immaturity, from the place of having less experience or having toxic experience, then they train each other on essentially this blind leading the blind mentality that leverage and or the optics of having leverage is everything. And so to your point right now, we're selling leverage to each other as relationship advice. And we're not operating in love, right? We talked about love earlier. Love is warmth. Love is grace. Love is acceptance. Love is patience. Love is long suffering. But love is also protection, right? Love is protecting you not just from the things outside, from the person who might snatch the purse or the woman who might slash the tires. Love is protecting you from what I might do to you. We protect our friends. We're loyal to our friends. We protect our favorite cousin. We have a person that we care about that we would do anything for. But we don't often bring that same type of protection into our relationships. We don't protect our relationships. The issue is the issue, not the other person. Man, love is missing a lot of things right now, and it's in the optics that we present on social media. But the people who have successful love are still achieving those same things. So it's not about modern love. It's just love still. And the people who aren't achieving love aren't. Humans haven't changed that much, man.
To me, I don't know about everybody else in the state, but I think those were some powerful words that were just given. I had the question, what is love in relationship? Looks, money, social proof, or access?
No, man. Love is support, man. Love is love is like being there. Love is self-sacrifice. Right. And love is not requiring a person to always self-sacrifice. We always talk about love as the service. We can name the services that we hope to receive, man. But sometimes love is not needing those services. Love is doing enough for yourself that your partner isn't running around raggedy, you know, trying to do everything for you. Love is not needing as much as your partner is willing to give, because loving yourself and loving your partner means you're taking care of home, too. Right. You're not just in this relationship. You're making sure you're straight so your partner doesn't have to do it. Your partner doesn't have to bear the mental load of managing your mental health. Right. I seen a video today of a dude kicking over his kitchen island, throwing chairs at his, doing all this crazy stuff. And women do the same stuff, too. So it's not about the guy versus the woman. But I seen a man who appeared to feel like in that moment he was the most masculine he could be, trying to scare this woman, yell at this woman and intimidate this woman with physical threats of violence. And In that relationship, in that marriage, that woman was in, she was married to that man. In that moment, she's carrying his mental load, because if he's not a toxic person by nature, if he's not an abuser through and through, pure abuser, if that's not his reality, then he's fallen off of his mental chair. Right? He needs to get back on the chair. He needs to sit back down in a mental space and get himself together. But the wife or the husband, ultimately, with the emotionally immature partners, ultimately carrying that load. So love is also carrying the load of your mental health so that your partner doesn't have to live in fear, walk on eggshells, and or take the brunt of the mental and emotional load you know, by themselves in that relationship. Love is doing enough for yourself.
I don't think people have enough emotional intelligence nowadays to be able to separate those two at this point.
Right.
Both men and women, especially when it comes down to what has happened in the last few years when it comes down to this pandemic.
Really absolutely.
Yeah, and that really destroyed a lot of things. Who holds more leverage in the modern, and well, you said, I'm going to use the word modern.
Yeah.
In modern day dating, men or women?
I'm going to say something that, I don't know. So this is, I don't think either holds the leverage. I think one group holds power and the other exploit leverage. Men have leverage in the sense that because they seem to be a more rare and more special opportunity when you couple, you know, male with ethics, morals, values, integrity, willingness to love, intention to love a woman, right? That man is a rare man, right? If you got 10 guys, two of those guys might really be on that and also have the emotional maturity and the skill set to offer a healthy relationship. Two more might want the healthy relationship but not know how to get it because, you know, culture, right? They're not socialized to give it, but they want to. So they have an opportunity, they have potential. So to that point, because men are more rare in this space that they love and respect love, right? There's just not a lot of guys looking for the same depth of relationship. They have more leverage, but women have more power. So to that point, I always told my clients that were women, you know, why aren't guys running around teaching each other how to be better men? You know, you get this from disgruntled women, vexed women all the time. Why don't men watch videos on how to be nicer, how to be better, or how to be more loyal, all of these things? I said, well, women decide what the ecosystem accepts. If women decide that men with money, men who have privilege, men who have 6 feet, 6 inches, six figures, all the bullshit, if they decide that that's the thing that gets attention, right, that men must pursue to be valuable, then guess what? All the men go do that. And they might exploit the power that they have when they acquire those things, but women decided what the standard was, what they decided what got them laid. What puts a woman in bed is what the standard is. If all the men didn't get laid for having those things and women start laying down with men because they were picking up trash in the neighborhood, feeding kids in the community, doing nonprofit work, then guess what? All the men would be in the neighborhood with golden diamond encrusted pickup sticks showing how much they could do for their community.
Everybody being simple at this point. Right. I gotta speak to my point. Does social media inflate perceived value? And I think you just
absolutely. And man, social media creates its own system of value. It's like Monopoly money, or like, you know, everybody plays GTA online. So you live in your real life. You got real money and you got real problems. But then you can immerse yourself into GTA. And GTA has GTA dollars, right? And people driving all kind of flying rocket cars and shit on GTA. And they using real money to plug into that system. You use your real world energy to plug into social media's make-believe world. And then social media exploits the idea that everybody has it. Everybody's got shit going on. Everybody has leverage. And then they're inflating that value and then giving it back to people who have real relationships. Like, I would talk to somebody and they'd be like, we having this 50-50 argument. I'm so tired of going online and seeing people argue about this. Bro, what works for your household is what works for your household.
Indeed.
I don't give a damn what a social media person says. If you got a job and she got a job and the bills are due, partnership is what matters in relationships. And partnership is love. Partnership is, hey, shit, you got $70, I got $53. Let's put that together and pay this light bill so we ain't sitting in the dark. That's partnership. They ain't teaching it on social media. They teach it.
No, definitely not. They want the man has to carry the weight of everything. And nowadays, that's what's going on right now. So,
right. So in your household, if y'all like that,
this is what I hear more on what I see when I go through social media is relationships are becoming more transactional, and people are noticing it too, and they moving like that at this point.
Yeah, it's transactional because people are struggling. See, that's the case. We're exploiting this idea that we all have this leverage, but everybody's going into relationships, or everybody's pursuing relationships, or they're being trained to pursue relationships that exclusively offer some kind of financial leverage. Now, that's thirsty people shit. Now, think about it. If we all doing so great, then why is everybody's main focus finding somebody who can provide a lifestyle for them?
Right.
Right. So clearly, there's an optic and there's a reality. right? And the optics are people on social media going viral are living a certain type of lifestyle, but that's not the lifestyle that the masses, that their audience is living. The audience is as broke as they've always been. They have as limited opportunities as they've always been. We see 1,000, like you see, you might see 1,000 fine-ass women on social media. You go on Instagram right now, there's no shortage of butts, breasts, smooth skin, like waist-to-hip ratios, areolas, whatever you're into, there's a woman that can fit that need, and there's 1,000 of them, right? That's on social media. Take your ass down to the mall and see how many women that look like that can you count. Mm. A woman can go online right now and find 100 men, dark skin, oiled up. Why these motherfuckers always got oil on them? Yeah. Like, nobody's skin is that shiny. But she can find a guy with the perfect hairline, oiled up, in shape, all of this stuff. And it's 100 of them. And then that becomes her standard, right? That becomes the standard because social media makes us think that these top 1%, you know, aesthetically pleasing people are everywhere. And so people are running around trying to figure out how to get one of them. Because the aesthetic is there, the leverage is there, the conversation is there, the hypergamy is there. All these things are being thrown at us. And the only people you have access to are the people you see at the gas station, at the mall, or the people who live down the street from you. And most of them don't look like...
on social media. So right. You agree with the last question, right? And that question was, are relationships becoming more transactional? So
certainly.
If you believe in that, do you believe in this? Tell me what you think about this next question, not even believing in it. Is I love you sometimes just a strategy to secure access.
I think I love you as a strategy of the mentally, like the maladapted. I love you as a strategy. When people who manipulate the words, I love you, those are maladapted individuals. Those are people who are essentially either emotionally immature and don't really understand the depth and the scope of that word, and or they're people who are outside of manipulating specifically for that word, just manipulators in general. Like, man, I tell a woman I'm in like with her. I remember if a person tells me they love me and it's like ill-timed, I'll be like, oh, I like you a lot. Like, I will make it awkward. We'll just be sitting there like, I say something like, hey, man, I like you too. I'm in like with you, but I ain't in love with you yet. That's not how. Like, it really takes me a while because I really have to feel that. It has to come from a genuine place. To your point, I love you is a bastardized term now because people use it to get what they want, right? Everybody uses it. And love for people, love for humanity is different than love for your partner, right? And love doesn't actually mean you have partnership to offer, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who love the person that they sleep with every day, but they won't commit to them, right? They won't give them security. They won't inconvenience themselves. So what type, like, how mature is that love, right? How much bonding is lives inside that love? What does that love encompass? You can love a person at a level two, right? And we say love, and love is supposed to mean everything. But for a lot of people, love is a very, very surface word. And their understanding of it is surface because they don't really feel that amount of love for people. And they don't have that compassion for people. So they bastardize the word and lie about the depth of their feelings for other people.
Got you. Listen, we're going to come right back. We'll be right back. It's be real soon, real easy. We're going to take it real easy tonight, and we're going to bring some people in. There's some other people on this stage right now that has YouTubes and has a podcast and everything too at the same time. So, thank you. Welcome to the Fauna Club Rooftop Talk. You got your boy Ye here. Got Kevin Hicks here on the topic, love or leverage modern day relationships. That's who we're featuring. Kevin Hicks, I appreciate you for coming on tonight, Kev. Hey, I got my boy Content on the stage from Welcome to Louisiana. I have my boy Peace here. He had his own page. He can tell you that because he's going to speak next. Swan is also a part of Welcome to Louisiana, and they are a part of BTSI. Rosie at the same time, too, at the bottom right there. That's my little best friend right there. She has her own podcast, too, After Hour Talk with Rosie. Listen, so I want to go into this. Peace has something to say. Are you ready for a Q&A? Are you ready to have this conversation, Hicks?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, then let's go. Go ahead, Peace.
I just wanted to say, man. Salute to you, Ye. This is amazing right here. Salute to you as well, Kev. I was able to hear what you were saying, man. And a question came to mind. because men do use that love word to manipulate women to get what they want. I agreed with you there. Here's the question that I ask. Should men even be awarded sex from women that they don't want to marry? Should men even have sex with women that they don't actually want to marry and put a ring on?
I feel like you have to have the same philosophy on marriage, right? If you put the same sanctity on marriage, then that's an easy standard to create. The answer is no. If you both have the same standard that you believe in marriage, that marriage is the goal, then you should be taking your time to get to a place to where you trust each other enough that you know you want to be with each other. But everybody doesn't have the same definition of, you know, a healthy relationship or the end goal, right? Everybody doesn't have the same end goal, which is a part of the trauma that we give each other. Some people don't believe in marriage. Other people, it's their life's goal. It's the biggest achievement for a lot of women that they can present to their families and their friends and their circles. So to that point, if marriage is a core belief of yours, and maybe it stems from a spiritual place or, you know, God forbid, just social programming. But if you believe in marriage truly and that's what your goal is, then yes, I think that for a woman to keep herself safe, she needs to operate with men who have that same sanctity. Now, if they decide marriage is something that waits for or sex is something that waits for marriage, then that's good. You're equally yoked with one another. You both have the same belief system. You both have the same core value set. But I don't think sex before marriage by itself can really be justified or measured based on marriage being the goal. I think, to your point, we were talking about love being the goal. If men aren't bastardizing that word to get what they want, and women are not giving what men want without the observation of that. See, love is a term. I can say any damn thing. You can see love in a way that a person inconveniences themselves, in a way that a person shows up, in a way that a person makes space, right? In a way that a person shares space, in a way that a person offers vulnerability and accepts vulnerability, right? Love can be observed. Luckily for us, love is a verb. The shit has to be done. So you can say what you want, but love is a thing that is observed and done. It's an action word. To that point, though, two people definitely need the same philosophy on how important marriage is, or the word love and the achievement of a commitment is, before they decide where sex belongs. And I think that that's the biggest trauma, is that we have two different philosophies. A man doesn't believe in marriage or titles. A woman just wants to be a girlfriend or just wants to be a wife, and she's on her back trying to earn it. That's where the trauma happens. And so that's the great injustice. And so if women learn to observe love before they accept the words from hearing love and then make their sacrifices based on that, everybody would probably be a little bit better off, to be quite honest. But again, it's not women's fault, but it's in women's power to change.
And you were answering Peace, right? Peace, you, yes, sir. You want to come back to
that? Yeah, I actually appreciate that. I also want to ask this as well, man. Have you personally ever used love or manipulation to have sex with a woman that really wanted more from you, but you just got what you wanted out of her?
I can't say I have. I can say that I've had a cheap encounter that had, like, I've loved a person, but not been in love with a person, right? And in having that cheap encounter, right, you realize that, damn, we've known each other for 6 years. We do have this love for one another. Am I manipulating this woman, telling her I love her to be with her? No. But in that cheap encounter, you realize that, damn, we could have worked out. This could have been something real. That's the closest I got to you know, using love. I think we've used the way we felt about each other to justify being together that night when we probably shouldn't have been. But I've never personally been a manipulator, man. I like to just shoot straight. And I'm going to be honest, I never valued sex enough to risk it with any woman I didn't want to have a child with. So that's the thing, too. Like, I'm a different type of brother, man. I'm cautious. I've never been, like, sex-centered, sex-ruled. So I've never done the whole I love you thing to get laid down, because then you get an attachment, right? You get a friend. You get somebody calling your phone and hanging up. You get somebody who owes you some retribution emotionally because you've created damage. And so I didn't want to be I didn't want to be anybody's sad song, essentially. So me personally, Kevin, I've not done that, to answer your question.
Okay. So I want to get down to segment three, right? Self-value versus market value. Self-value versus market value. I'm sorry, Swan's a part of Bad Apple. And I got my girl in here, my peoples, my friend, Stunner. She's a part of the Corner Club Rooftop Talk, too. The difference between how you see yourself versus how the dating market can see you. Listen, this is an open Q&A. We can ask them questions, and you can chime in with your submissions to it. It's okay. Let's try to keep it under 2 minutes. I'll appreciate that. At the same time, you can go hit my profile, hit the YouTube, like, subscribe. You can go on I'm on iHeartRadio. I'm on Spotify. I'm on every major platform. Y'all go up there, show some love, some support. That's the question. Does the difference between how you see yourself versus how the dating market sees you? That's where we at.
Okay.
Are people overvaluing themselves?
I love to answer that one. First, kevhick.com is my real website. If you need coaching, that I'm still very much a full-time coach. So kevhick.com, kevhick.com. Get yourself a session if you need perspective. But to that point, everybody's, I think, gotten to a place to where it's very normal to overvalue yourself. Think about it, man. We live in a world where the average woman sees herself behind so many different filters that we've watched women grow in delusion about how they might be perceived. We've watched men get out of their echo chambers of, you know, oh man, you got it, king, you got it, king. I love the word king, but we need to act like kings. And to be a king, you need to have something. You have to rule over a kingdom. You have to protect a kingdom.
That word is being used loosely.
You have to service a community, right? A king is a servant to his community. And men are too afraid to build their community, serve their community, and do any good for their community. Everybody's an individual. All this individualism doesn't make a lot of room for kingdoms or community. So to that point, we see a lot of people overvaluing themselves because they're not being realistic about what they offer the world, let alone a relationship, right? And then whether it be aesthetic, we know that, you know, we get into these filter things online where we can always point to a woman using a filter and point to a part of her ego that's judging a man that doesn't have the you know, luxury of using a filter without being ridiculed by other men. And we can see that delusion. That's obvious. That's the low-hanging fruit. But we also assume that our mental health is right. We assume that because somebody told us that it wasn't our fault, it was their fault when we broke up with someone, that we offered a healthy relationship. So we overvalue the partnership experience that we bring to a person, right? Because we only watch social media content that validate what we feel and believe. It's rare that people watch social media content that challenge what they are inherently, right? That challenge the core of their being. So because that, when you watch things that just echo to you back what you feel about yourself, echo to you back your victimization, echo to you back your value when you've really not accomplished anything, done anything, or offered anything to anyone, it's very easy for people, men and women, to both come outside of whatever echo chambers or whatever social media depths that they might crawl out of and think that, damn, they're finer than they are, or a man might think he's more valuable than he are, or he's nice means good man, nice means productive man, nice means efficient man, nice means a solid partner, right? We get all this shit twisted because we're speaking to people and listening to people who think exactly as we do. And I think if we did a little bit more cross aisle, conversation that wasn't built on the gotcha moment, but was built on understanding as a community, we could get back. But to that point, yeah, a lot of people are super delusional and a lot of people are overvaluing themselves, not just aesthetically, but emotionally, spiritually. They overvalue what they offer a person in a partnership experience.
Super duper illusion.
Absolutely.
That's on both sides we talk. We're not just talking about on the woman's side. We talk about the man's side, too.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Even spread across the board. Mm-hmm. Anyone else want to say something?
Yes, I actually have a question.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, when the men are encouraging women to date broke men, not just including in their actual pockets, but in their minds, why is this happening, in your opinion?
When the men are, when the men specifically are encouraging women to date broke men? Well, first of all, most of the time, men are going to encourage you to date the man that they identify the most with, right?
Watch what y'all say for now. Well, I'm going to use that.
Like, if you think about Kevin Samuels, right? Love and respect to, you know, the dead. I'm not here to shit on Kevin Samuels. Not today. I gave him all the smoke when he was alive. But the point is, with love and respect to his message, as he became the man that he saw in the mirror that he liked, He moved men toward, becoming that. And then all the women got advice about, hey, this is how you get a man essentially living like me. Broker men essentially are living a lifestyle and they want acceptance. First of all, everybody wants acceptance. Everybody. I don't care who you are. And so if I'm a man and I have a microphone, do I want to teach acceptance about a group of men that I don't qualify to sit next to? Or do I want to teach women, if I have the women of a woman's ear, do I want to teach women on how to get a man that's much more like I am, whether that be financial or energetically or personality wise or philosophy wise? We teach people on how to be more like us because it's our only perspective. So in short, when you're hearing that advice, it's either a man looking to watch a woman be punished by the decisions that he thinks she's made. And we've seen this punitive behavior before. We like to see the woman be brought down to her level and all of this bullshit. That's the thing that happens on social media quite a bit. So a lot of times it could be, it's actually malicious wounding is what they're trying to do. They want that woman to suffer for not either giving them the opportunity when they didn't have it, and or they don't have it now and they want the option to have access to more women. And the only way you do that is to build a populace of women who would accept a little bit less. And again, I don't have an opinion on broke. I think motherfuckers are struggling out here. So I don't care who you date as far as how much money they get. As a relationship coach, I see it from all angles because I've talked to 5,000 people. I talk to women who date millionaires. I talk to women who date men who make $600,000-$700,000 a year. I talk to women who are dating all across the financial spectrum, and nobody's relationship is any better or worse outside of the material things they can purchase. So for me, as a relationship coach and really coaching people and helping people change their lives, not just doing it on YouTube or social media, I can tell you that partnership qualities are way more important a lot of times than the money. If a person is a good partner, you can build a life together that would be enviable among a lot of people on social media. But that's my focus as a relationship coach. But to that point, men are telling you to date broke men either out of a punitive place and or out of a place that they relate to that, and which is totally fine, but that's their tribe. They want their tribe to have more access.
Can I chime in real quick?
Gotta let that breathe for a little bit. Do y'all disagree or agree with that, first of all? Okay, well, then somebody disagrees.
And I'm going to be honest. The way he put it together, it was very logically sound, and he gave a very rational take. I'm not saying what he's saying doesn't make sense, right? And I'm not saying that I agree with it 100%, but it's too many fallacies and it's too many nuances that fall into place that have to be covered, right? Have I encouraged women to date a broke man? Yes. You know why, Ye? You know why?
How's that? Go ahead.
How many people are on stage? 11? If we went one by one and asked everybody to define broke, you're going to get 11 different answers.
You will.
Okay. So selling a woman to date a broke man, do you see how many nuances is it going to be in that? Here's the main reason why I disagree, and I agree with the premise that Kevin Samuels used to preach. He was telling women to date the men in your dating pool. These women were calling in saying, how do I get a six-figure man, right? Mm-hmm. A high-value man, whatever you want to call it, because I don't agree with his definition of a high-value man, right? Mm-hmm. But my point is this, right? The women who date these men as a norm, they're constantly being approached by these men, right? So you can tell people, go to this side of town, and mm-hmm. this is where you're going to find these men. Go work out at this gym, and this is where you're going to find these men. They're high-value men who in the hood. You know, you got high-value men who own clubs, they own restaurants. Some of these establishments are in the ghetto, but they live in a nice side of town. You see how mm-hmm. it's so many nuances? You don't have to go to a special place to meet a man with money. Men with money are all over the place. So my point being is this, right? It's too subjective to boil it down as to saying men are telling these women to date broke men because that's the only man that they can relate to. I tell women to date the men in their dating pool. See, there's this.
Wait, but almost.
And I'm gonna end it right here.
Broke. That's the thing.
I'm gonna end it right here. Right. There are so many women who say they don't want to settle. Right. And I ask this question. How can you settle if you only picking from the choices that are available? That doesn't make rational sense. If me and you go to the car lot and they say, okay, We ran your credit, and this is where we at with it. You qualify for everything on the left side of the lot. You don't qualify for anything over there. Are you settling if you can't get something you don't qualify for? Of course you're not. So what I'm saying is, if these men aren't checking for you, I'm not saying that you can't get a man with money. Mm-hmm. I see all the time there are plenty of NBA stars and NFL stars, and some of their wives look like they got hit by a train. A lot of these dudes are married to average-looking women. All of these dudes aren't married to women who look like they can win a beauty pageant. My point being is this, though. If it's not the norm, if this is something that's out of your circumference, if you're 40 years old and you, excuse me, and you're normally not approached by these type of men, it's a fallacy to think this even possible. That's where the delusion comes in, right? Mm-hmm. If you know you like criminals and all five of your baby daddies been to jail, that's just what you like. Of course, I want you to choose better, but at some point you got to live in reality and you not settling, choosing from what's always coming your way. So until they're willing to do the work, whether it be weight loss, work on attitude, go to therapy, they just don't understand that they're the biggest component in this whole equation. So that's the point that I'm saying. When I tell a woman to date an average guy, I'm only saying it because all you've ever dated is average guys. I don't push. If a woman come in here and tell me that she wants a millionaire and her last three boyfriends a millionaire, she's not going to get no pushback.
Right. You might disagree with me. I feel like I agree with you. You're making great points. It's a complex conversation that, you know, we don't have time to cover all the nuance, but you make some amazing points. I don't like the word broke. That's why I kind of I shut that one down immediately, because for me, I think that you can't settle for great partnership, which is what my total point is. But go ahead.
What do you mean by broke? Just from your own perspective. I'm not trying to debate your perspective. I'm just curious as to what you're talking about.
Okay, so they've actually have said the actual terminology broke, but then they always do the nuance. So I wanted to see if we could actually present the nuances when people responded. So that's what I was doing. It wasn't for my personal definition. I wanted to see what everybody else is going to say. And it happened. So that's all I need to do.
I think what the brother just said, your level, the lifestyle that you're living, dating people within your range, is
give me a second, Kev. Hey, don't bring nobody up. I don't want no debaucheriness going on. If the people you bring up start going crazy, you put them right down. You already know how I'm moving. I shouldn't have to really say that. But go ahead, Kev, you got it.
Yeah, no, I think he made a great point. I don't even think our points necessarily disagree with each other. They just came from a different side of the context. Broke for me is, if we're saying that, it feels derogatory to me. And I had to think about it that way. So I'm thinking, you know, to your point, ex-felon, criminal, you know, nothing accumulated, back child support. Like, in my mind, that's broke. I need partnership quality to be the main thing that a person is choosing, because you can't settle for a great partner. You know, to his point, I've told my clients this before, like, hell, everybody wants a Ferrari, but does that mean you're going to walk? If you can't get one, are you going to be happy as hell in that Honda Civic? You're going to drive that Honda Civic, and I don't think you settle for it. I think you're driving a Honda Civic, right? I'd love a Bentley Continental GT. I would love one, electric blue, right? I would still put it on some big dumbass rims if I could, but that's not my budget. So I can't settle. I'm not settling for my Dodge. I'm just driving the Dodge, right? So to that point, I don't actually disagree with what the brother said. I think he made some amazing points. Love and respect, bro.
You going to say something? Yeah, Animal.
No, I was just, I want to talk about what Lalita proposed, but if I can't get a definition of broke, I don't see how I could go about it.
All right. I got a good one here, though. If you remove leverage, money, looks, and status, what's left?
Partnership quality.
Integrity.
Character traits.
Yeah.
Yeah, expound on it. Yeah. Don't just put it out there. I want to hear what you got to say.
Morals, value, integrity, commitment, loyalty, you know, protection, provision. Like, we still need the same things, right? We still need acceptance. We still need support. We still need warmth from a person. We still need affection. Whatever your love language might be, you need to be served in that way. So you can take all of those things away and still have an amazing relationship. Like I said, I've coached 5,000 people, and many, many hundreds of them were couples. When people focus on developing their partnership skills and attacking their personal issues as the issue that needs to be attacked instead of making it personal, you know, if your partner has an issue, it's like, you're the problem. No, your problem is the problem. Let's attack it together. Let's collaborate. I'll kick myself in the ass when I transgress. You kick me in the ass when I transgress, and we're going to always collaborate to fix whatever the problem is. Partnership quality is above all of that shit. So you can take all that away and still have two people who have an amazing relationship. You know, I've been at a lot of different financial levels. I've been high as hell. I've been low. I've been mediocre. I don't care what type of situation I was financially, what type of status I was, what type of attributes people assumed of me or were right to observe. I was the same man that my wife could depend on. And she's always been the same woman that I can depend on. And when we was boyfriends and girlfriends, we were still the same because our partnership is in line. And so I think that, you know, none of that shit actually matters, man. That's just for everybody else. Partnership is what matters. And partnership is who you lay down with and what those conversations at night before bed sound like. Partnership ain't got nothing to do with all that status shit.
Mm-hmm. So the obvious thing that I want to ask, of course, obviously, people already probably thinking about this, right? Have you ever cheated on your wife? Because most people that speak like this, 9 times out of 10, they just talking about the side of the ass, we'll say, per se. No. Have you ever had these problems with your wife where everything has been hunky-dory, mm-hmm. Gucci crunch the whole time?
No, man. You know how when people say we've gone through a lot, right? And that generally implies that we've put each other through some shit. That's not the case with my relationship, man. And maybe I'm an outlier. You know, I don't.
Put each other perfect, through some shit, man. Isn't love. I don't think that's love, bro.
Right. But that's how people often, you know, they have to struggle love, and then they're like, we've been through so much. Like, right. That's not a flex. That's not a fucking flex. My wife and I have been through a lot together. Two humans traversing life. We've had, you know, we got special needs children. We've had NICU shit going on. We've been broke together, poor together. Right. We've had a lot of different shit that we were challenged by as a couple, but we've never brought those challenges to each other. She don't have to worry about, I talk to women and men, but mostly women for a living. She's never had to worry about checking my phone. Right. Like I don't have to, me and my wife could flip phones for a month. It wouldn't matter. We just pick a phone up in my house. So no, to me, it's easy enough to do if, you know, you're more obsessed with, again, your reality than the optics of who you are. What people think about you and who you really are at the end of the day, I would much prefer to be the person that my wife thinks I am. And so I'm going to be totally and completely honest with you. No, I've never cheated on my wife. That's just not a thing that's happened. And this ain't no Derrick Jackson shit. This is just, my wife will tell you, she's done a video on my YouTube where the people are like, is he a fraud?
No, I don't knock that, Kev. I just ask that question because people always identify with the struggle of, like my brother spoke about earlier, struggle of. I got to put you through this. I got to drag you through the mug.
I got to see if you're ready built.
Like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah.
No, so cheating is a part of that too. At the same time, so listen, I'm gonna open it up, open floor about like 9:55 or so, near like 9:55 because we out of here at 10. So if y'all want to open up the mics and have this conversation, y'all can have this conversation with Kevin Hicks. Go ahead. But I guess you guys do not have any.
Animal definitely had a question he wanted to kind of walk down with Lalita. My thoughts on that, if you're not going to use the definition of broke, don't even try to walk the conversation down. Y'all try to use the nuances and that's just not real. So let's keep the conversation with the real.
Yes, thankfully, Kev is someone seems to be well-spoken, so he knew what I was talking about.
Well, I think I got a few. We could look at broke as a few things, Animal. The first, let's say the first level is a man that can't afford to pay all the bills. All right. So had a conversation from that part. Then the second broke, we'll say, is a man who can barely, he can just go 50-50. So the man who wants to go 100-0 but can't, and then let's talk about the 50-50 dude.
Man, I'm gonna be honest. I've been all of those dudes at some point.
I've never cheated on my wife, but
I've been at every financial level. I remember, I was doing bad when I met my ex-girlfriend, and she just came from privilege. She had a few bank accounts with many thousands in them, because that's just how she was living. I didn't know that at the time, but I remember being 18 and doing terrible, and like I couldn't beat this girl off with a stick for helping me. And I remember before when the relationship was going bad, I paid her every dollar she ever gave me back, so that I couldn't be the sad song of how somebody ran off on the plug. I've been very, very high up. I've been mediocre and we've been broke. And I'll be honest with you, I've gone 50-50 with my wife. My wife has not had to work since 2013. My wife hasn't worked since 2013. So we do 100 in my house now. So like to that point, to the lady's question, you know, dating broke men, it depends on your value system. I think that as a 50-50 man, while that might be looked down at, 50-50 was a percentage. So she paid a half of her check. It was more like 73. It was like 70-30, because my 50% paid more because I made more. So I put my 50% in, she put her 50% in, it left her with less money. And then I gave her the difference so that we both had the same $400 in our pockets on payday. We both had the same $150 in our pockets after payday. I wasn't running around living a different lifestyle, had extra money, and she didn't have nothing. If I was going to do 50-50, I was going to do 50-50, even if that meant giving her $230 after I had all paid all my half of the bills so that she could have something in her pocket too. But to that point, that's partnership, right? That's a we, that's not me, that's not you, that's us. We're living this lifestyle together as a partnership. But she was good. Like somebody would have told her, you dating this broke ass man that's got to go 50-50. You working at the time, she working at like Long John Silver's as a manager. I was working at the hospital as a surgical instrument tech. Somebody would have told her, terrible advice, get rid of this man, he 50-50. Man, I'm one of the greatest partners a woman could get lucky enough to be around as far as the skill set. And she's been rewarded greatly in our lifetime. We have had an amazing relationship. So I would never tell a woman to, if a man doesn't have this amount of money specifically, don't date him. Look at his partnership quality, because that man can impress you and build a life around you that you wouldn't believe it was possible. But at the same time, if she had dated me and I was behind on my bills because I was a terrible financial steward, I was piss poor at managing money, I was piss poor at acquiring money, I was irresponsible, I was buying weed instead of paying my bills, I was doing dumb shit, then I would tell her, hell no, don't date that broke ass nigga. And it's not because of the amount of money he has access to. It's about what he does with his money. It's about him not being responsible, not being able to be trusted, being a piss poor financial steward. The habits, patterns, and practices of a person are what you're looking at. The broke is a symptom. A broke is a symptom of a lot of things. Broke could be a symptom of how they grew up, being the blueprint. Broke is a symptom of being, like I said, a terrible financial steward, being very irresponsible, very immature. Why is a man broke? What condition has brought him to that place? And is it inherent in him? Or was it something on that? Was it an outside force? I don't think that broke specifically as a word is all encompassing enough to have the conversation to everybody else's point. But I do think that a good financial steward who manages his money well is a more valuable asset than a rich man who is spending to his last driving a Mercedes. We can call it all broke, but we've known rich broke ass people too.
Hey guys, and now y'all heard it, man. I appreciate you, Kev. Appreciate you, Kev, for coming out to the Foreigner Club Rooftop Talk. Listen, man, at the end of the day, right, whether it's love or leverage, the real question is, are you building something real or just negotiating temporary value? Because leverage might get you in the door, but only something real keeps you there. I'm pretty sure all of us know that there, right? Right? Because a lot of people think it's just, hey, man, you know, it's just the bread. It's just the money. She will stay. No, she won't. Y'all know that. Y'all know she won't stay. So listen, y'all can all follow me on my YouTube, Corner Club Rooftop Talk. If you join my Telegram, I'm on podcast for Spotify. I'm on iHeartRadio, podcast, audio boom. Same time, if you want to book an interview, you can hit my calendar up at calendly.com, 400 Rooftop Talk. 400 Rooftop Talk. And listen, like I said, I want to appreciate y'all for coming out here. So listen, I'm going to end it on this note. Hey, Kev, I appreciate you coming out, and I appreciate everybody coming out with me, too.
Hey, thanks for having me, bro.
You already know, man. I appreciate it. Kev got 365 subscribers, thousands. subscribers, 680 on YouTube. Videos, y'all hit that link up there and join Kev, man. Appreciate it, brother. Yeah. Woo!
Folk in the club, we bout to buff. Rooftop talk real, one show love. No fake vibes, just truth we speak. Strong minds build every week. We break it down, no surface talk. Critical thinking, when we walk from pain to purpose, yeah, we climb. Turn real life into a mastermind. No filters here, no highlight lies. We analyze what they disguise. From social fees to inner goals, we building kings, we molding souls. So.